Happy Easter. It is a special day that Christians around the world are celebrating the truth of a risen Savior. There's that great call, the proclamation that He is risen, and then everyone that hears it, that knows who we're talking about, says He is risen indeed. And He has risen, and He is risen, and He will always reign forevermore. But remember, there was a time when the disciples, when all the followers of the Lord didn't know that. We ended, Pastor George, if you were only online, Pastor George did an amazing job of carrying us through that Good Friday, ending with that point of despair that all the hopes of the disciples, all the hopes of Israel that were following, that were all in on Jesus, seemed to be dashed. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. And so we were left in this journey that just kind of pulled at us and just kind of left us with true loss, true grief. I said in our in-person service that it comes down to this idea that this crucified hope that all of us in our lives have had moments where all that we prayed for, all that we thought about, all that we wanted, even if we didn't even pray about it, just things that we just hope for in life, at times they come to a point and it's not what we expected. It's not what we signed up for. It's not what we wanted. And there comes a point in our faith that God lets happen so that we can let go, so that we can grow through it. And I'll unpack a little bit more of this as we go, but understand that this crucified hope, these disciples that had quickly buried their Lord and Savior, they rolled the stone in front. It was the Sabbath, so they're looking up early in the morning. They're waiting. They have all the stuff ready to go to put the spices in the burial form. But again, all they know is that their hope is gone. And our hopes, again, if it's based on just what we think, if it's not based on being open, then we really are going to struggle greatly. We're going to be looking in Luke chapter 24 and the beginning part of it. And I want to talk to you about revived hope. Revived hope is so much bigger than maybe what you've ever even thought about before. But crucified hope is that hope, again, that just tears apart, tears away things that maybe are missing the mark. The things that, again, we expect God to do for us. The things that, you know, we prayed about, and so God's going to do it. God is not a genie in a bottle. Jesus isn't someone who's like my homeboy and does whatever I ask him to do. No, we're talking the Lord God, and asking with an openness, a trust, because He's good. Lord, what do You want for my life? What do You want to do in this situation? Give us Your wisdom. Help us to do it with all the energy and the imagination and the love. But again, it's about following His lead. And so we're going to look again of how they were just, they were in it and they did the best they could, but it was such a difficult, challenging time. And they didn't know what to do. All they knew was their hopes were crushed. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, for those that are joined us in person at our 7 a.m. service, you know what that's like. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They are then greeted by these angels, and they're like asking them questions and kind of helping them process this. And they ask them this: why do you look for the living among the dead? Now again, just like today, dead people stay dead. Back then, okay, they expected Jesus to still be there. There was no real concept and understanding of resurrection in the middle of time. In that time period, in the Jewish understanding, they definitely believed in the resurrection at the end of time. So this is Jesus, one, being such a surprise of who God is and what he's doing, totally was just usurping what they understood, just totally flipping it upside down. And they said this, "He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." They had this crisis of faith. The hope was crucified. Now they're at a point where they're like, wait a minute, could this be true? Is this possible? How in the world are they supposed to move forward? Many of us have expectations of ourselves, expectations of others. And there's nothing wrong with expectations in most situations and in most relationships. But expectations demand a certain result. They're expecting something specific. I think we can get in trouble when we apply that to our Lord and Savior. I think that we put ourselves up for a crucified hope, for sure, if we have that on our Lord and Savior Jesus. But instead, if we have an expectancy, now I'm not trying to mince words, I really think there's a big difference. I think, again, it's different in that it trusts and hopes. Expectancy wants what God wants. It's hoping for the best and trusting to see what God's going to do. And so how can you and I, this day, this year, have an expectancy to our Lord and not just expectations? What would it look like if someone said something, asked us something, gave us an idea or something, and we said, I wonder what the Lord will do. There's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament where one gentleman named Jonathan is asked a question, and he says, perhaps the Lord will act. And I love that expectancy and that hope and that trust. Maybe the Lord's going to do something here. And here's the thing. He didn't just stop. Jonathan just didn't stop and just kind of sit in a corner or sit down and wait. He still acted. He still worked. He still trusted. And I think we're supposed to do that. I think we're supposed to continue to be open and seek the Lord and go about our days with that expectancy. Because that crucified hope doesn't just end there. That crucified hope, we'll keep going back to that if we get stuck on those things called expectations. We gotta keep our focus on having that hope and trust no matter what. Now, here's what I have found, and I hope that you find this too. To consistently live with expectancy in our lives, throughout our lives, we need God's Holy Spirit working in us. We need God's Word working in us. And here's the third component. We need good Christian community. We need to be able to share with one another our hopes and our dreams. We need to know that we're praying for one another. One of the guys in my micro group just had a baby, and I'm so thrilled for them. I'm so thrilled for the McKenzie family, and just praying for them and just asking God to just bless him and bless that whole family. And we're just excited for him. But here's the thing. We need each other to celebrate. We need each other to pray for each other. I had some challenges coming up this week, and Dorothy Castle, our choir director, is also in my microgroup, and she was asking about this and asked about that, and I was like, man, it would be a huge help if you could do that. And she's like, same team, let's go. Come on, team. You know, and I mean, she just was really encouraging. So we have one person having a baby we're praying for and celebrating with them. We have another one who's encouraging me. We need community. And if you haven't had that kind of community, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord and ask, Lord, this Easter, this new life that you promise all people to have, even beginning now, help me to have that in my relationships with other Christians. Help me to not be afraid of digging into your word, to let it read me too, and not just read it. Help me to really lean in on you, Lord, in the Spirit. And that's the prayer that we need to keep asking. And when you don't know what to do, Lord, guide my prayers. Help me to know. Give me that hope, I pray. But it's about trusting and hoping. Again, what expectancy is all about. The text continues. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. Remember, Judas is not there. Told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. There was a gathering. We don't know how many. It's estimated between 100 and 200. But still, they told all the people that were followers of his what they had seen. Now, again, remember, just like today, back then, dead people stayed dead. So they didn't receive it, maybe as what you think, like, oh, it's a miracle, he's alive. No, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. If you're going to make this up, you're not going to put that in there, right? You're going to, everyone just believed, you know, it just works. You know, don't ask any questions, you know. No, I love how it's just so real. And there's going to be times in our lives we're just going to, I don't know if I believe it. I don't know about that. Maybe that's what you've kind of landed on a while ago when it comes to this thing called the resurrection. Did Jesus really rise from the grave? Again, if you're going to make this stuff up, you're not going to include stuff like this. And there's so much evidence that we actually have, good, solid, rational reasoning as well, that I can stand here with confidence, with amazing confidence, that yes, he did rise. But maybe you've been struggling because, again, you're like, I don't know about that. I just want to encourage you to maybe be open, to just kind of not feel like you have to have a judgment done. Don't be afraid to bring that before the Lord. Don't be afraid to start a conversation. I'm happy to talk to anyone about it and let you process it. One of our church partners, one of the first things she said to me, probably the first 6 months I was here, believe it or not, it's going on 5 years now. How about that? First 6 months here, she kind of pulled me aside. She said, I don't know about this thing called the resurrection. I said, okay. She goes, I love Jesus, but I just don't know about that. I said, I think God can believe in you enough that he can help you through this. And she was kind of like, I don't know what to do with that, but okay. And I was so proud of her because over the years, she has truly just been open and receptive and growing in her faith and her knowledge of the Lord. But it takes that openness. It takes that humility. It takes the community to come together to talk about these things. I want to invite you to have that courage too. Let's keep reading what the text does because this is really what my favorite part. Peter, however, he heard it, right? He's one of the 11. Peter, however, it's not about him not believing. Nope. Got up and ran to the tomb. Peter knows what it's like to have crucified hope. Peter knows what it's like to disappoint Jesus, to deny him. He was told he was going to deny him at the Lord's Supper. And he, God, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I would die for you before that. And then he hears a rooster crow. After the third time, he denied him. Here's the thing. No one else except Jesus and Peter know what the rooster's all about. All the people that are hearing this rooster are just hearing a rooster. But Peter, at that moment, he's realizing his hope has been just crucified. He's got no hope. He doesn't know what's going to happen in the future. He just knows it's not good, and it probably doesn't include anything of Jesus and him. So he gets up and runs because he's got to know, is it true? Is he alive? Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. If you're going to make this stuff up, right? You're going to make it appear that it's just everything's great, and here Jesus is, super miraculous, whatever. But no, we have this Jesus. He doesn't need these dead coverings anymore. He takes the time to fold them up to say, listen, I have overcome. Peter is on the journey to have revived hope. Peter is now experiencing what it could be for the first time in 3 days. He still doesn't know. He still isn't sure, but he knows something is up. It's something that Jesus probably is up to and he would have done because of all the surprises that the disciples experienced over those several years with Jesus. But here he's at a point where he's walking away. What does this mean? What does this mean? In Luke, he then turns in the story, actually pretty quickly. He takes the story, and then as Peter goes kind of just walking and wandering about, we find that there's a story about this walk to Emmaus, that there's these couple disciples that are walking to this town called Emmaus, and they're just kind of living out this crisis of faith, this hope that was crucified. Now they're just like, where do we go with this? What's going on? They meet this stranger. The stranger unpacks all these kind of ideas that Jesus talked about. And then they have this moment where Jesus becomes present at the breaking of the bread. And they realize, oh, the things the ladies talked about, it's true. They get right up right away and they just jet off back to Jerusalem. So here they are. And then they tell everyone, you're not going to believe this. What we just saw on the road. Jesus appears to the disciples again. I love the fact that Luke and several of the other gospel stories and accounts say repeatedly, Jesus revealed himself again and again and again. 40 days after he rose from the dead, he continually shows them, I am here. Do you need to touch? Thomas, come here, touch. he's going through the not the motions, but he's going through all the points to help them know it's okay to struggle with this. He is incredibly patient. And if he was incredibly patient with those that were the leaders of the church, for those that didn't grow up with it, for those that maybe feel God's far away, or just you've been in a really difficult season, be encouraged. He is incredibly patient. Interesting, just a kind of little one of these things. You should check it out in the end of Luke 24, around verse 41. Jesus, after he shows himself, goes, you guys got anything to eat? Kind of hungry. I love that. It's kind of like, he's going through the things and he's not like this, Jedi kind of thing. No, he's a real person. Back from the dead. How about that? How can you and I live out this revived hope? See, we find out later that Peter is off fishing again with his buddies. And Jesus goes onto the shore, and as he goes onto the shore, he calls out to them. He says, hey, why don't you take those nets and put them on the other side of the boat, something that he had done before. And they look, and they're like, what? Who's this guy? Let's see what this is all about. They don't recognize Jesus yet. They put the nets out, and as they come up, they're about to explode. They about can't carry all the fish that's in there. I love this part. As they're pulling the fish in the boat, all the fishermen, Peter doesn't go over to help them. Peter jumps into the water because he's like, I've lived a life of a fisherman. I thought that was my only hope. I thought that was it. But no, he wants to get to Jesus as quickly as possible and be the person God's called him to be, a fisher of men. Who has God called you to be? How can we as a church help you discern that, discover that? How can we help you figure out who God called you to be and then lean into that and live that out every day? If this is new to you, I want to just remind you that this is good news. What that means is when God created the world, it was good. And then there was a brokenness, there was a rebellion with humanity, and it was unfortunately bad news then. And then God sent his word and his people and then formed this relationship and said, I'm in this with you. That's good news. And then they struggled and failed, and that was bad news. But it wasn't a surprise to God. No, he knew it was going to be this way the whole time. We find this early on in the scriptures, actually in Genesis chapter 12, this promise that then is picked up later in Jesus' day, that God was going to bless the whole world through himself. He was going to unite and restore everything to himself through this Jesus. And that's where it's the good news now. It started with good news and is going to end with good news. And I want to invite you to accept that good news afresh. Maybe you never have done that before. I want you to just take a moment. And as I lead you, if you feel led, I want you to accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior. If you've grown up in the church, but you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, this would be one of those moments to now lean into that. If you have been maybe with the Lord for a while, but maybe just again, you just know you need a closer walk, well, I also invite you to just humble yourself, surrender all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your love for us. That is such good news. That there's nothing that will stop you. Nothing that will keep you far away. No, you will tear every mountain down. Every lie apart. You will be so good and faithful. Because you already have been in Jesus. Lord, we admit that we need you. We confess that without you, we don't have much hope. At best, it's false hope that turns into crucified hope. But this crisis of faith, Lord, brings us to you right now. So, Lord, raise us up, I pray, that we may be living out what you want us to live out, that we could follow you ever so much more closely, more faithfully. Guide us, Lord, in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Help us to be rooted by your Spirit into your word and in community. Thank you, Jesus, for this Easter. Thank you for who we are in you. May we always look to celebrate you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We hope and pray this day and this week that you will know of God's love, of his grace, of his goodness, of his truth, and you would even feel it. May you be encouraged this day.
Most gracious and loving God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness to us. We pray that you would meet us in this special Easter. Help us to lean on you, to continue to press on, and to know that you are faithful. Even in spite of our circumstances, you are good, and we shall overcome with you. We pray this in your mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. And now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Happy Easter, all.